بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Now, we continue concerning the discussion on the subject of excessiveness and exaggeration in the deen, in the religion. And the author, rahimahullah, cites the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إياكم والغلو فإنما أهلك من كان قبلكم الغلو. Beware of excessiveness, and verily it was the cause that destroyed that excessiveness was the cause that destroyed those before you. Al-ghulu, excessiveness, we explained what it meant. We explained what it meant in the previous class. And as mentioned earlier, it refers to exceeding the limits, either in praise or in dispraise. And it also may encompass that which is more comprehensive. Like, for example, exceeding the limit in praising and in worship and in action. Why? Because this hadith which we just mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ warning against excessiveness in religion, you know, this was said at a time when an act of worship was performed. As it was narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Aqaba, when he was throwing the pebbles at the Jamarat while he was on his camel, he commanded Ibn Abbas to pick up some of the pebbles for him, and I picked 7 pebbles for him. And they were from the type used to throw at the Jamarat. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began taking off dust of them. And he said, like this you throw. Like this you throw. And then he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. And be aware of excessiveness in religion. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. That's because that which destroyed those before you was excessiveness in religion. This is the wording as reported by Ibn Majah. Now, the word ahlaka, destroyed, it encompasses two meanings. The first is the destruction of the religion. And so therefore, the destruction will be as a consequence, direct consequence of, in accordance with this meaning, of excessiveness in religion. That is because mere excessiveness is destruction. This is the first meaning. The second meaning, that it refers to the destruction, the physical destruction of the bodies. And in this case, therefore, the ghulu will be a cause of destruction. What does that mean? It means that if they exceed the limit and be excessive, then they will not follow the obedience of Allah, then Allah will destroy them. Now there remains another thing here in this hadith. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُو, that which destroyed those before you was excessiveness. Is this a meaning? Was this restricted because of excessiveness, or that the destruction was only because of this, or because of a particular action? If we say that it is of the first type, then it becomes problematic. Why? Because there are other narrations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned destruction due to actions other than excessiveness. Like, for example, he said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الشَّرِيفُ تَرَكُوهُ. What destroyed those before you is that when the honorable amongst them steals, they would leave him. Meaning they don't inflict a punishment upon him. وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ, while if the weak steals, they would establish the verdict on him. So, in this case, we were going to have two kinds of opposing restrictions. So if we say that there is no destruction except by excessiveness, then in this case, between the two narrations we have just mentioned, there will be opposition and contradiction. But if we say that the restriction is relevant, meaning in regard to some particular action, in this case there will be no contradiction whatsoever. And each will be considered from its angle, whereby there will be no opposition to the other angle. And so therefore, in this case, we can say, أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمُ الْغُلُوْ. This is in relation to worship in the first hadith. And in the second, the destruction is in relation to the worship in the first hadith. And in the other, is the destruction in because of the ruling. Meaning that people will be destroyed if they establish the punishment on the weak and leave the honorable unpunished. So in this case, therefore, there will be no contradiction between the two narrations. We continue. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns this ummah, the Muslims meaning, from excessiveness. And he establishes the proof that excessiveness is a cause for destruction. Why? Because it opposes the Sharia, the legislations, and also because it destroyed nations before. So therefore we learn from this some benefits from two angles. The first is his warning, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and warning is forbidding and more, not just forbidding and more. The second thing is that it is a cause for destruction of the nations. As nations before were destroyed, you can be destroyed. And whatever is a cause for destruction is itself forbidden. So therefore, excessiveness in religion is forbidden. Now, the categories of people regarding worship. The categories of people regarding worship. People regarding worship are on three categories. Two extremes and a middle. There are people who are negligent, and there are people who are excessive, and there are those who are on a medium course. Those who are on a medium course. The religion of Allah is between these two extremes. And having the individual on a just and medium course, not inclined to this extreme or that extreme, this is what is obligated. So therefore it is not permissible to exceed the limit or be excessive in the religion and exaggerate in it, nor to be negligent and careless about it. But the Muslim must be in between, on a just course between these two extremes. Now, excessiveness itself is of different categories. There is excessiveness in the creed. There is excessiveness in the creed. And from that is the also excessiveness in worship. And there is also excessiveness in transactions and relations. Also, there is excessiveness in habits. In habits. And the examples are as follows. With respect to the creed, excessiveness in the creed, is as the bragging of scholastic theologians regarding the affirmation of Allah's attributes. The scholastic theologians gutturally spoke and bragged, you know, to the extent of definite destruction. This led them to one of two things. Either drawing resemblance to Allah or negating the attributes. Either they made resemblance of Allah to His creation and they said this is the meaning of affirming the attributes. So in this case, they exceeded the limit in affirmation of the attributes. To the extent that they affirmed to Allah what Allah negated about Himself. Or the opposite. they nullified. And they want to say this is the meaning of glorifying Allah above resemblance to the creatures. And they claim that affirming the attributes of Allah likens Allah to His creation. So they ended up what? Negating what Allah affirmed to Himself. However, the just path of Ahl Sunnah was between these two extremes. There was no bragging in terms of affirmation, nor in denial and glorification. So they took by the obvious meaning of the attributes, and they said, we don't exceed this. So therefore they were not destroyed, but rather they were on the right path. And when Persians and Romans entered Islam, they began also bragging concerning these matters and argue endlessly until they went astray. And we seek refuge in Allah from this. And many of the arguments brought about in the latter part of this ummah regarding the texts were not brought by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are the medium and just path. They didn't brag about any of that. They affirmed to Allah what Allah affirmed to Himself, without this excessiveness, without addition, without omission, and with glorification. This is regarding the creed, excessiveness in the creed. What about the excessiveness in worship? This took the form such that if any kind of defect in worship is practiced, it was looked upon by some people of excessiveness as being disbelief, kufr, and exiting the fold of Islam. Like, for example, the excessiveness of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazilite sects. The Khawarij, the rebellion dissidents who existed before, and the Mu'tazilites, and also who exist in our times. Those who went to the extreme and said that the one who commits a major sin, then he exits the fold of Islam, and his blood and wealth becomes lawful. And they made it permissible to rebel against the imams and the leaders and to shed the blood. And so also the Mu'tazilites, who said, whoever commits a major sin, then he will be in a position between, or in a state between two states. Between two states. Between iman, faith, and kufr, and disbelief. This is excessiveness, which leads to destruction. This was opposed on the other side by the negligence of yet another sect, which is called Al-Murji'ah, who said that killing and fornication, adultery, theft, drinking alcoholic beverages, and the like from the major sins, does not take the person, it does not take anything from his iman. His iman is still perfect, his state of faith is the same, it's not affected. Sufficient with respect to faith is to attest. And that the faith of the major sin doer is the same faith as that of Jibreel, of Gabriel, is the same faith as that of the messenger of Allah. Why? Because they said that people don't differ in faith to the extent that they said that Satan is a believer. Is a believer because he attested. And if they are faced with the refutation that Allah made it clear that he was a disbeliever, then they said, oh, then his attestation was not truthful, but he was a liar. This is there, no doubt, is excessiveness from the other side, and that is negligence. And the other is excessiveness in and harshness. And the path of Ahl Sunnah is that faith increases and decreases. This is the right path. And that the sinner is someone with deficient faith. The degree of the deficiency in his faith is as to the extent of his, is in proportion to the extent of his sin. And he does not exit the folds of faith except by actions and or sayings proven textually that they constitute disbelief. Now, regarding excessiveness in transactions and actions and relations, taking extreme positions in matters by making everything unlawful, declaring everything unlawful, even if the thing is only a means, and that it's not permissible for the person to do more than the necessity obligations for his life. And this is the path of the mystic Sufis. This is the path of the mystic Sufis, who say that whoever busies himself in the life of this world, then this means that he does not intend the hereafter. And they said that it's not permissible to buy that which exceeds your necessity and the like. This is excessiveness. This is excessiveness. On the other opposite side, negligence regarding same thing. Those who said that everything that makes wealth grow and strengthens the economy is lawful. Regardless, even usury, even deception, and so forth. As long as it strengthens the economy, as long as it makes the wealth grow, these people are exceeding the limits in their negligence. So you find them lying regarding the cost or the price of something. And in the price, not only the price, and the description of the items, and everything, in order to just earn a penny or so. This is no doubt excessiveness. And the middle course is to say that transactions are said to be lawful as declared by the texts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 275, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. And Allah made lawful al-bay', trade, selling and buying, and made unlawful al-riba, usually. So therefore, not everything is haram, is unlawful. The Prophet ﷺ sold and bought, and the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, bought and sold, and the Prophet ﷺ approving them. As to the excessiveness in habits, how, for example, is this? If there is a tradition or habit such that it's feared, if the people leave it, then they may end up changing in worship. Then in this case, there is no harm to stick to this habit and not to enter into a new habit whereby it will lead into a change in the worship. However, if excessiveness in a habit would prevent you from changing to a better habit or more useful one than the one you are upon, then this is excessiveness forbidden. So if someone holds to his habit such that he would refuse changing into that which is better, then in this case he is exceeding the limits. However, if the habits are on equal level in terms of their benefits, and it is feared that people, if they change from these habits, to end up laxing in the habits whereby it will affect the honor or the religion, then they should not change to these new habits. Then, in the hadith, then the author, rahimahullah, cited the hadith in Sahih Muslim from Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هلك المتنطعون قالها ثلاثة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said هلك المتنطعون, destroyed are those who are extreme in religion. He said it three times. Who are the متنطعون? Those who exceed the limits, who brag, and when they speak gutturally, or in their actions, then they are destroyed. Even in normal sayings, when they do that in these bragging ways, and some people are like this, and this kind of behavior may be associated with a false pride most often. And you see, when they speak out of like their noses. If you greet him with salam, you hear as if the return of your greeting came from his nose. Also, the excessiveness in actions, which leads to self-pride or false pride or arrogance. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, destroyed are those who exaggerate. Also, the exaggeration in religious matters is similar, is a cause for destruction. And from that is what some people do regarding the attributes of Allah, bragging about it, where they ask about things which the companions did not ask about, while they know that the companions are better than them and more keen towards attaining knowledge. And amongst them is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's got the answers regarding their questions. So therefore, these three narrations so far discussed now tell us about the forbiddance of excessiveness, and that it is a cause of destruction, and that the duty is for the individual on his travel, on his journey to Allah, to be between two extremes, be on the middle and just cause. And since this ummah is on the middle and just cause, and its religion is a just religion, so therefore its application of its religion must be on this path. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next talk we will talk about the benefits of these great narrations and statements. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.